The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
I remember having the argument with Jack beforehand, kind of going, Jack, if this shit doesn't work, you would have put me back out in the field and don't whip the big donkey out of full power.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
OTB AM
with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
All right, it's 9:22 this morning. Tommy Rooney, good morning to you. How are you? Oh, you're on silent there. Are you on mute on your side or are you on mute on our side?
I'm on mute on my side, yeah.
Very good. We've only been doing this a couple of years now, Tommy.
Yeah, you can blame me for that one. Apologies. How are you getting on?
Welcome to the pandemic. Excellent production work there. So, an incredible weekend of Gaelic Games action that we're going to try and corral into the next 10 minutes or so. Where do we begin?
We're going to start with Dublinger, Parnell Park, Kilmacook Crokes against St Jude's. This was, when you were looking at the weekend, there was 9 county finals, a load of provincial games going on, hurling finals. This was the game you were looking at. This is going to be a big one. Kevin McMinniman and St Jude's going up against Paul Mannion and Kilmacook Crokes. Well, after 24 minutes, Ger, it was 0-0.
Nil all.
No score. Nil all. Unbelievable. And from there, it just took off. I think Adrian Barry put it best. He said, how can a game be so turn-offable and so much watch at the same time? Wild finish. So basically, we went in at half-time and it was 1-1 to a point to St Jude's. St Jude's picked up again then after half-time. They were leading, I think, 1-4-2 at one stage. And then Crokes started coming back into it. And they took the lead for the first time, the 51st minute, I think. Keane O'Connor scored a goal. 1-5-1-4 to Crokes. Next thing, Colin Murphy. I don't know if you've seen Colin Murphy playing midfield for Jude's, Jer, but I think he's mid-30s, early 30s. I hope I didn't do him an injustice there, but a warrior of Dublin Club football, as Bernard Brogan put it. He fetched, I'd say, 6-7 marks, and he fielded a mark after the goal, led to a point. David Mannix was full forward for Jude's. He kicked some unbelievable scores. He's a Kerry lad originally from Austin Stacks. He put them back in front into injury time. Crokes level it up, and they're trying to force a shot. Jude's actually had the ball when it was a draw game with about 2 minutes to go, and you're thinking they're going to keep it here. They've got Tom Lahith there, they've got McMinniman, they've got Mannix, they're going to keep the ball, they're going to work a shot, they're going to play it like basketball, down to the shot clock, down to the buzzer. They get turned over. Lahith, I think, tries to win a free. He tries to barge through 3 or 4 players, gets turned over. Crokes break, they keep the ball, and they work it to the corner forward to come off the bench, Callum Pearson, and he scores from the tightest of angles on the buzzer. Time for a kick out, but like, it's game over. Like, ball goes on the other end of the field and it's game over. So that's Dublin. Kilmacook Crokes are champions, 1-7-1-6. Low scoring affair, but a wild finish, as Adrian Barry put it. They'll go on to play Wolftones in Mead in the Leinster quarterfinal next. So I'll come back to the Leinster. There's a couple of good results in provincials in a minute. I'll come back to that in a second. We're going to see an image here from Mayo, a class image of the Knockmore and Belmullet in the pre-match warm-up, the parade before the game.
Flares.
Knockmore won. Yeah, Flares, kind of League of Ireland style. Johnny would like that. Knockmore are back-to-back champions. They bet the underdogs Belmullet. Not a great game by all accounts. It was 1-9-6 points. A 6-point win, but Knockmore got the job done. In Westmead, St. Lomond's bet Gary Castle after a replay. That's their sixth title in Westmead since 2013. Gary Castle had this game in the bag last week. Even Desi Dolan come off the bench despite retiring the previous year. I think he's 42 years old now. But John Hessen led Lomond's to A, secure the replay the first day around, and to win it this week. They're a really strong club in Westmead, and they're playing Port Arlington and Leinster up next. Down in Fermanagh, Derry Gonnelly Harps, they have dominated the Fermanagh Championship in the last 7 or 8 years. It's their sixth title, I think, since 2015. They've won again. They bet Enniskillen. Enniskillen were an up-and-coming team, very young, had won all around them in underage over the last 7 or 8 years, and they took over. And in the Waterford senior final, Ger, the Nyer bet Rathgormack by a point.
Okay,
so that was a big game. Now, the big one of the weekend was the Tipperary County final. I don't know if you're following the story of Lochmore Castellini, the McGrath brothers. They drew the hurling last weekend into the football this weekend. They're one of these amazing Jew clubs that are playing week on week. We're going to have an image here of the McGrath brothers. They were playing Clonmel Commercials, who were probably the premier club in Tip. They're losing by 2 points. They're losing by a point. They were free to equalise it in injury time. Drop short. Eventually the ball works its way to John McGrath. And it's like it's the 2015, 2016, 2017 All-Ireland final, whenever it was, when McGrath buries that goal against Kilkenny into the Davin stand. He receives the ball, decides 5 O'Neills, buries it into the bottom corner within a couple of seconds. So Clamel naturally weren't happy for this reason. Shane Brophy tweeted this actually. The free count against Clamel was 27 frees to 11. So
they even themselves out over the course of the season though.
I don't know whether it was discipline or what it was, but yeah, special mention John McGrath, man of the match last week in the hurling drawn final, man of the match this week in the football final, and they go again next week in the hurling. So down to Kerry, the semi-finals. We spoke about the Jude's Crokes game not being a great affair, the same with the Mayo County final. Well, Austin Stacks against St Brennan's was not the best game to be watching for I'd say about 50 minutes. Going to have an image here of one of the most interesting parts of the first 50 minutes, which was Kieran Donaghy up against Stephen O'Cumber, who's back. We're having a look at him. We know that Jack O'Connor and Paddy Talley were in the stands having a look. They would have been impressed, Jerry, over the first 50 minutes. O'Cumber's ability on the ball, he hasn't lost any. He kicked a brilliant point, one of the first points for St Brennan's in this game. And his athleticism, like he was dragging Donaghy back down the field. It was a really good tactic. You want to see O'Cumber when he takes the ball in hand. He's so powerful. If Kerry wants somebody different to match Brian Fenton next year, maybe Stephen O'Cumber could do it. But he could also mix it up and fall back too. I absolutely think he can play there. He played a lot of his game around there and he dragged Donaghy down the field. There was times that Donaghy was appearing in the left half back position. We'll talk about where Kieran Donaghy finishes his game in a few minutes. St Brendan's are basically a mixture of a couple of clubs around Tralee. So it was a local enough team, but they're a strong team. They've got Andrew Barry, centre-back, brother of Jack. They've got Jack Barry. They've got Jermaine O'Connor. Some of Jermaine O'Connor's brothers as well in the team. But yeah, they're a decent team, St Brennan's. And I think it's 8 clubs that were on the starting 15, and they were talking about how difficult it was to get them all training together, etc., over the last couple of weeks. But anyways, this game turned into the story of two super subs in the last 20 minutes or so. The game was dragged into extra time. Ivan Parker come off the bench for St Brendan's early enough in the game. And it was funny, the commentary team kept describing him as a streaky player. And I was like, it's just a bit harsh on a young lad who's come off the bench. Infamous Marv saying he's streaky, you know, he's got it in him, but he's streaky. Well, Parker kicked some gorgeous scores. I don't think he was very streaky in this game. He might have missed one or two frees, but he kicked some unbelievable scores. He had a bit of an edge about him. And he really kept Brendan's in the game. And next thing, they're losing by 2 or 3 points in injury time. I know we talk about late GA goals. You're taking a flick in off a free or a dodgy scramble in the box and it's knocked in. Ivan Parker receives a hand pass about 20 yards from goal and he arrows a rocket into the bottom right corner. There is no stopping this shot. It was one of the best last minute goals I've seen. And actually, they were 2 points down. It put Brennan's a point up. Stacks had one last chance. They went down the field and Sean Quilter. No, it wasn't Quilter. They scored a free to equalise it. Next thing, Sean Quilter comes off the bench for Stacks. I was surprised Quilter wasn't starting because I've seen Sean Quilter come off the bench for Stacks before. I haven't seen that many Austin Stacks games, but I've seen this kid come off the bench and rescued him. He scored 1-2 in extra time. And then Parker's a bit of a shootout between the two of them. It ends up going to penalties. Quilter buries his penalty. The first 4 Austin Stacks penalties are unbelievable. Quilter buries the first. Parker then misses his one. It's a brilliant save by Wayne Guthrie. He used to play outfield. He used to be in the Kerry camp under Fitzmaurice. He's now the goalkeeper for Stacks. And it ends up going down to the 5th penalty. Kieran Donaghy steps up and he buries it in the bottom corner. Oof. He runs off celebrating. A big pile on from all the squad. And then he has the composure to get back up. And you see a photo here with his daughter, Laura Rose. And he's doing an interview afterwards in the game. Obviously, Donaghy was saying that it's easy taking the 5th one when you don't have to be the one to save it. Like he said, he had the hero penalty and all the other young lads have done so well. So unbelievable. Austin Stacks are now into the final and they're going to be playing Cairns O'Rahilly. So there's going to be some crack in Tralee over the next couple of weeks. Another Tralee club led by David Moran and Tommy Welsh. They were losing for most of the game against Dr. Crokes in the semi-final. They came back late on. Crokes were leading by 6 at one stage. Jack Savage's point in the 62nd minute of the game was the first time the Cairns O'Rahilly took the lead. There was about 8 minutes of injury time.
You love it.
They held on and they went on. It's their first final since 2008.
And is Donaghy making a comeback? Is that what we're saying? He's playing the full game. He looks as skinny as a whippet. Could he come on and have a role for the last 10 minutes in an All-Ireland final?
I absolutely don't know why not. I think Kieran McGeaney is the only man that could stop that at this stage because I know Jack O'Connor would definitely think about bringing him in. But yeah, you think about it. Like you think about Donaghy's last kind of year. And the impact that he had and the role he played around Clifford breaking through and how well he would have been around those players. You have to think that Donaghy must have had a little bit more left in him, like, because he's obviously still playing basketball, still playing football. But yeah, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be an ultra affair in the Kerry County final in 2 weeks' time. And in a crazy turn of events, Dr. Crokes, who lost the county semi-final, are now in a relegation playoff next week against Killarney Legion. So it's an all Killarney relegation
playoff.
You
can try
well.
And explain how that
I'm
is
not gonna, I'm not going to bother because we don't have that much time.
You, and you I want to come across like Kevin Caban talking about the Nations League.
The Nations League, yeah. And I completely messed it up a couple of weeks ago when we had Donny on the football pod. He was giving me a bit of stick for completely confusing the situation. Let's move on to the provincials. Really, really interesting stuff happening this weekend. Mullan and Nyacta, who I think I've pronounced right there, the Longford champions. We had Cian Mackey on the pod during the week, the Cavan footballer who's transferred over to them. They, you know, shocked everyone around them back in 2018. They beat Kilmacud Crokes in the Leinster final. Like Mullan and Nyacta, Jared, they're only half a parish. The other half of the parish is Gowna in County Cavan, and Gowna is the village. So Gowna has a wee bit of a town. Mullan and Nyacta is basically just a couple of families with a pub, a church, and a football pitch.
It's all
and
you it, need.
It's the McGivneys and it's the Mulligans and a couple of other families, and they've obviously dragged in Cian Mackey, who's going out with a girl from Mullan Nyacta and has got a site down there as well. So that's why he's down in Mullan Nyacta as well. So
I'll throw that in.
They lost though, but they lost. They were
shocked. He has a site. Sites are hard gotten.
That's the best thing about GAA. So they were beaten by Blessington, like the Wicklow champions. I completely slept on how well Blessington are doing this year. They have got Philly McMahon in as a performance coach. We've seen the image there, the sub celebrating, but they bet them by a point, I think. Unbelievable. 2 points could have been unbelievable. And then elsewhere in Leinster, Nave Martin from Loud, they hammered Carlow champions Rathvilly, and Naister, the Clare champions, they bet Tullamore. Now Naister were in a decent position for most of this game. Tullamore took over with about 5 or 6 minutes to go, and in the last minute of the game, Dara Kerwin scored a late goal to win it. So we've had John McGrath's goal, we had Ivan Parker's rasper to bring the game to extra time down in Kerry, but Dara Kerwin scored 2-4, 64th minute goal to win it for Naice. Last minute win. Unbelievable stuff.
Who would be favourites for it outright now? Would it be Crokes or like who would be actually favourites to win the...
I'll be honest, I was talking to a couple of Galway people after my Lock bet Carfin the last day, and they were saying, like, you know, my Bellew have really pushed Carfin in any of the years that they've won the All-Ireland Club Championship. So they would be thinking they're a good shout.
Serious scare yesterday.
Let's cross over to Connacht, Johnny. Yeah, serious scare. So Leitrim boss Andy Moran was an interested observer down below in Ballinamore. Sean Parker Dermody, he was obviously watching the Leitrim champions Ballinamore, Sean O'Heslin's. They ran Mount Bellew Moylock to 2 points and they had them rattled. Now, there was a decent wind in the game. I may have had somebody voice note me what went on, and we'll be talking about it on the football pod later on. But Ballinamore, the Leitrim champions, were 4 points up on Mount Bellew. Shock was on the cards. And Michael Daly, son of their boss, Val Daly, stepped up. He kicked 4 unbelievable points in a row. I'm told. I didn't see it, but I'm told. So Mount Bellew Moylock came back. They held off Ballinamore and they won by 2 points in the end. They'll go on now to play the Roscommon champions, Padraig Pearse's. They've won a couple of Roscommon championships in a row. They've got the Dalys in there. And Mayo champions Knockmore will go on to play Tour de Strand, who also won yesterday against St Kiernan's of London. The last senior provincial game we're going to mention is in Ulster. Donegal champions St Union's, managed by Rory Kavanagh, were beaten by the Derry champions Waddy Grahams of Glen.
8 points to 1-4. This is what you want.
This is what happens when you put club championship games in November. Like, it was just now. Maybe that's going to happen anyways. But a couple of dour results is what we're seeing across the board. Now, there was a couple of weeks there where the club championship was unbelievable. But I don't know. Some of the games this weekend have been very low scoring. Doesn't mean there were bad games. I'm not sure this one was the greatest game ever now, to be fair. But Unions were winning most of the game. Glenn kicking to gear with a couple of minutes to go. They get a penalty in the 58th minute. 2 minutes to go in the game. They miss it. They win the next kick out, they equalise it, a long range point. Unions keep the ball from the next kick out. For some reason, the wing forward tries to give a hand pass back to the keeper. It's intercepted, a free from 20 yards out, popped over the bar. Glenn are through to the next round. So that's it. And look, I know I'm one of the hosts of the football pod, but I may as well mention the hurling. There was a couple of games going on. St. Ryan has won the Offaly Senior Hurling Championship for the third time in a row, thanks to an injury time goal. Another injury time goal, can't be bet. Kildalki beat Kildale and Mead. In Galway, the second semi-final was finally played. It's been postponed multiple times due to a COVID outbreak in the Gort camp. Well, St. Thomas has hammered Gort yesterday by 420 to 8 points. And down in Cork, we're going to see an image here of Conor Lehan, the Middleton captain. They beat Glen Rovers. Now, this to me was a bit of a shock. Glen Rovers are led by Patrick Horgan, and they're one of the probably the standard setters down in Cork for the last couple of years. But it is a third final defeat in a row for Glen Rovers and Patrick Horgan. Middleton will go on to play Kilmallock in the Munster final, but there's a lovely shot here at the end. Maybe lovely is the wrong word, but a good shot to sum up the GAA and club games and how much it means. The umpire, I don't know whether he waved the ball wide or went for a 45, or must have been a 45. There you go.
65.
Keeper mustn't touch the 65. Apologies. But that's your GAA club wrap, lads. That's the finals. That's it all wrapped up. Is it worth giving a final mention that the a big shout out to the provincial councils? They managed to slip back in the GAA pre-seasons over the weekend. So the competitions are back. We didn't get Proposal B in over the line, a special congress. But don't worry, lads. Pre-season competitions are back in January.
2017, it's the same format as it was in 2017. The All-Ireland semi-finals are going to be July 14th and the All-Ireland finals are going to be July 28th, I think, around then anyway. And yeah, that's in the football, and the hurling final is going to be in the week in between. And every match will be finished on the day, with the exception of the All-Ireland final, as provision for a replay. Maybe I've got those dates wrong, and it would actually still, maybe the first week of August, it might be an All-Ireland final replay, and that one goes to penalties if it's a draw after extra time. So,
wow, okay.
Back to the future, baby.
Back to the future, yeah. That's it.
Who's going to win? You skillfully avoided that question, Tommy. You were asked by Johnny, give us who's going to win the football.
Who's going to win the football? Well, Mount Belly and Moylock have a savage chance. They really do have a really, really good chance. They'll have a tough game against Pádraig Pearse's. They'll have a tough game against Knockmore or Turles Strand. They've had a potential shock in Ballinamore. So like they'll have a really good chance now of getting really well cooked and getting to an All-Ireland semi-final. Like in Leinster, Kilmacud Crokes are going to be gunning for that title, but they didn't look amazing yesterday. Now, I know Jude's played quite a defensive style, and they were like there was a lot of times in that Dublin final yesterday, lads, when there was 30 players within the 45.
Actually,
maybe 29.
Swashbuckling so like, football from Dublin.
So like if Cian Ward could pick them apart in the quarterfinal, well, you know, Wolftones, you know, Cian could be making a comeback to the Meath County team. Right. You know?
All right.
Always retired too early. Bye bye.
Tommy, good stuff. Thanks very much.
Just like that.
OTBAM live with Gillette, proud sponsors of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow. Catch the football pod with Paddy and Andy and, of course, Tommy Rooney. You can get it for a 24-hour window exclusively on the OTB Sports app. And I've told you what's going up with OTB Sports Radio today. Two quick final comments for you. Carrick will be more of the same, inertia. And Brian Brady, that was from Gray Mouser. Brian Brady says, Maguire cupping his ears against Albania to silence his critics and getting sent off the very next game. Greatest schadenfreude in football ever. It's like, it was pretty amazing. It was like, look, we're Albania, beating up on these crap teams. I'm brilliant at football again. It's like, let's wait and see what you're up against, good players. And it's Watford, the might of Watford.
The defining moment of him and Solskjaer as he went off the pitch for the last time under him as a manager.
Tomorrow,
lost souls.
Tomorrow on the show, Owen's back in studio. We're talking to Kilkenny star Owen Murphy. There's rugby with Louise Galvin and more football as well. Be sure to tune in to Off the Ball tonight. Keep an eye on the radio tab on the OTB Sports app. OTB Sports Radio is live all day long.
OTB AM with Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.